In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Those who would valiant be. Now that word valiant, I haven't heard for a long time. And moreover, I think the concept has pretty well disappeared in our culture and land. The hymn's use of this showed that it belonged in the context of knights and pilgrimages and quests for valor and honor. We don't have this perspective of movement as a wayfarer, as a sojourner, as a pilgrim. We're not a pilgrim people. We're more like encapsulated little units bobbing up and down on the swells of an ocean with no sense of lateral movement, no sense of direction or goal. But we guard our little space with great ferocity and rage. The Bible uses another metaphor. Going on a journey, going on a path, a narrow path, beset by dangers at every turn and at every side. Those who would valiant be does not include me. It calls for courage, and it reminds us that the way we are going is very difficult. It reminds us that in order to make it, valiant and valor and honor are the commodities that we need most. No, I don't want valiant. I want ease. I want contentment. I don't go looking for trouble. Somehow it all too easily seems to find me. Now, I made a list of things that I am afraid of. The text talks about encouragement, overcoming fear. But here's the world that I live in. It goes something like this. I'll refer to the list if I run out of memory here. It goes like this. Many of you know that I ride a bicycle all over the city. And one of my biggest fears is that I will be hit by a bus. But a bigger fear that I have is that if the bus hits me, it won't be hard enough. You know what I mean. I've seen fear in your eyes. I've smelled fear around you. You know what I mean. You know what it is to be afraid. You're afraid that you are doing poorly in Greek. You're afraid of that D minus, but you're afraid of an F. The D minus says you've got a hard row to go, and it prolongs the agony. If only we could fail miserably, that might be sweet comfort. I'm afraid my children will leave home. I'm afraid they won't. You see what I'm getting at? Fear immobilizes us. Fear keeps us from going on the path. Fear is not, however, not something out there. Fear is something in here. Circumstances don't change. We do. The first time I recall, as I was thinking about my personal life, of when I was confronted with a situation that called for valor, called for me to be valiant, a although the word and the idea certainly wasn't on my mind at the time. My memory took me back to in the 60s as a freshman in high school, very early on in the fall. In our community high school, the people that were called hoods, and those were the ones who had the greased back hair with the ducktails, had the tight t-shirts with the lucky stripe pack rolled up in the sleeve. They wore these heavy engineer boots and had somewhere concealed on them a switchblade or two. This was in a relatively rural community, stable and so forth. These were the guys with the muscle cars and so forth, not my particular circle of friends. And they would intimidate people as they would come into the front, into the main entrance of the high school. Somebody would bumping up against them as if by accident, tipping out their books, tipping out your books as you carried them through the door and so forth. Well, on one particular day, and I suppose it was invoked by my comportment as I walked, that it, I suppose I had something of a military stride. Anyway, I heard one of them pop up and say, as I was approaching the school, "Hey, here comes the general. Hey guys, it's the general, come on." And what they then did was to line on both sides of the sidewalk. There were probably about 24 or more of these guys. This was a time of testing. What shall I do? I'm just a little frail freshman here, and what am I going to do? If I go around about to the and go on a longer route, I'll never make it in this place, because certainly they will think that they will know what a wimp I am. But I was really outnumbered. And I immediately saw that I must run the gauntlet. There was no other chance. There was no other choice. I had to get from point A to point B, and every other possibility was just as bad, if not worse. So without stumbling, without diminishing my stride, I looked straight ahead and walked through those guys as they saluted me. I thought that I would be whacked all along the way, but I wasn't. And something intuitive in me snapped as I got to the pass through the gauntlet without a scar. I immediately pivoted, gave them a smart salute, and said, "At ease, men." That was what their response was to. You know what? Nobody, and I mean nobody, ever bothered me again 4 years of high school. And in fact, it got to the point where we could carry on. This nerd with the hoods got to know each other, because as I would then, as that got old after a week, we kind of could stop and chat, and we got to know each other. They weren't so bad chaps after all. Anyway, now I'm thinking, I suppose I would have been considered valiant, a guy with some guts, some pluck, and so where did this come from? It was forced upon me. I did not choose it. It just happened. And I think that's the way it is. In a similar way, it is with us. We've been called on a mission. We've been given the destination, and away we go. We don't know what's going to happen along the way, but God gives us the opportunities for becoming valiant. We also have a leader. But before we get to the leader, let me bring in the rest of the troop. We're not traveling the gauntlet of life alone. We're going along it together. I know that you're afraid, too. And we can overcome our fear together. But what kind of traveling companions are we? Isaiah tells us, we're not very good traveling companions because we're a bunch of invalids. Now, I chose that word invalid with an ambiguity. It's about the only word in the English language that retains in a negative way the word valiant. An invalid means someone who is weak. Valiant means someone who's strong. Our traveling companions are described as weak-kneed, weak-hearted, hands, legs, hearts, eyes, ears, tongues that don't function. There's the whole anatomy. Isaiah goes through the whole anatomy of our disabilities. We can't crawl by ourselves. That's how pitifully weak we are. But the promise is there. The promise of the gospel is that God is coming, and he has come, and he gives us sight. He sends rippling power through our muscles, through our legs, through our dumb and deafness. He heals us to enable us to make the journey, to go the distance, to take the flak, and not to retreat, not to pull our head in our shells. So he's the one that is with us by his Spirit, giving us the strength and power to carry on. No more invalids. It's all a matter of how you look at it. It's a matter of perspective. If you look at yourself, total failure. You look to God, and empowered by him, following the master, the hymn says. That's where we see valor. That's the truest picture of valor. The one in total weakness, through his suffering and death, his trip to the cross, is how the victory is won. Salvation he brings, he saves. And that word in Isaiah, that word for savior and saving and salvation, is none other than the great word Yasha, which means to have a great victory. Isaiah gives us a time, a picture in the future, when this path that we're traveling becomes the path to everlasting peace. It's the path of the Exodus. This is a major metaphor, not just of a path going somewhere, but it's the typology of God taking people out of bondage, out of servitude, out of prisons. That's why we can't walk. We've been shackled. That's why we can't see. It's because we've been in the dungeon of darkness so long. God comes and transforms all that. In the desert, there are refreshing pools of water. There's plenty to eat. There's plenty of nourishment along the way. And there's the new song. There's the new cadence. Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Elohei Sabaoth. Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Elohei Sabaoth. We have such a procession, such a victorious procession in miniature with our liturgical processions. These are rather like victory parades, with Christ at the head, the ensign being the cross lifted high. And that's what is given to us in the pericope for Christmas Day. open a path through the gates for this great pilgrimage to come to an end. Let all see here. We're moving to Zion. Zion's gates are opened. Our Savior is at the head, and he has freed us from bondage, from death, sin, and Satan's fiery darts. Then in Mass, we will join with the ranks of the angel corps, resounding with that chant, that victory chant, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And then our Lord will review the troops, and with a smart salute, he will say, "Well done, men. At ease. Mission accomplished. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen."